The following program is brought to you in living color on NBC.
She's an Olympic champion. He is a two-time Olympian. Together, they're figure skating royalty turned NBC commentators. And now, they're pop culture icons. But more importantly, they're best friends. NBC presents Tara and Johnny. Here's Tara Lipinski and Johnny Weir.
Hi guys.
So, we're wrapping up Rio. We're about to be out of here.
We are so thankful that we had the opportunity to be here and to cover this Olympics for, you know, everyone from NBC to the Golf Channel. Snapchat to Facebook. We had a really good time.
So many things, Johnny. We got on Snapchat and then we sort of got off of Snapchat.
Yeah, guys, here's the thing. We hate Snapchat. We tried it and it's really hard for us to use, and it's like you don't get to keep the things.
There is a way to save them. You know, we should just stick to our Instagram.
Yeah, I think that's what we're going to end up doing.
Yeah, probably.
I do like that you can put like Madonna's face on your own face on Snapchat, though.
Yeah, last night we were going to dinner and we did the cowboy, we did Madonna. It is quite fun.
We had a strange rerouting. We were getting really, really adventurous, and we were like, you know what?
Let's try a different restaurant.
We've been to this one like 16 times. Let's go to a different one.
So someone said there was this other good Italian, Fratelli's, that we should try, that it could be even better Italian than Duo, which is our go-to. But the route to Fratelli, it's a different route, and we had not seen this area of town, and it was just
a little dicey.
And then the major incident was when we are getting onto the highway, but we're sort of under the highway, and there's, you know, a police check, and all these cars are sort of pulling over to the side, and I was not prepared for that. So the minute we got through that, I was like, you know what? Even though we're 40 minutes the wrong way, we're going to go back to Duo. Yeah. So we just rerouted and went back to Duo and had great pasta.
I had a pizza. I mean, I let go and let God when I'm in a car situation because we've traveled so much. You kind of have to just go with it. We don't know the customs of traffic in every single country. But, you know, again, it's the fear factor. Everyone scared us about Rio and Brazil. And, you know, even our guards, the first time we came down, were like, you know what? There is corruption in the police force. There is stuff where they'll just create these pullovers and ask people for money. And that kind of is what scared us in the first place. We luckily didn't get stopped or pulled over.
No.
But we watched it happen, and Tara gets so nervous.
I do. I'm like my mother, very nervous Nelly when it comes to those things.
Very close,
very
to
aware,
tears.
Looking for exits everywhere I go.
You never know when it's going to have to be an emergency exit. But I think something that's interesting to discuss for our listeners, all bajillions of you, thank you very much for that, is how you move on from that Olympic dream. Like, you see people that, myself, I came back to competition for a short time in hopes of reliving an Olympic dream. I got out when I needed to get out, thank God. But there are some people, and you look at athletes like a Gabby Douglas, where she won the premier event at the London Games and came back and didn't even qualify for that event this time. So I think it's interesting to talk to people about how hard it actually is to give up that dream and that lifestyle.
It's so hard to get out of it. I mean, you've done it for so long and you have very little else in your life. So your main focus is that. I mean, I think, you know, a lot of times, you know, that's the hardest part. I think athletes get confused when they want to go back because there's, you know, personal goals or things that they want to sort of redo in a way. But I think a lot of times it's because they love their sport. They're so used to training. They don't know what to do with their life next.
And
making that leap is scary. I was lucky because my mom was not a sports person, really disliked skating, to be honest. And like we talked about, she always wanted to go home. But especially when I won, I think I'm glad I had that balance because I love my sport and probably would have stayed in forever and ever. But she always gave me that, you know, different idea of or a different way of thinking.
That there's real life.
That there's real life and that, you know, she always used to say, because I loved New Jersey where I lived, and then we had to move to Texas, and I had a really hard time. She's like, phases, Tara. There's phases. You love New Jersey, but look what you had in Texas. Like, you always have to sort of move on and not get stuck. And, you know, I did that in amateur skating and then even touring. And touring, I loved it so much. My mom had to sort of, Tara, like, do you want to be 45, you know, traveling the world skating? You like
still doing triples.
Yeah, go out on top, you know, find that next thing that sort of motivates you and intrigues you and jump into that. But, you know, the amateur, my mom had to actually leave me in Detroit after I won because she was like, I don't know what to do with her. She's not listening.
Well, you've won the Olympics.
I won the Olympics. And then it was sort of the space between tours. And tour really helped me because back in the day, skating was so big. It sort of gave me immediate, you know, a new focus immediately.
You had to still perform well. You had to do the triple.
And then once I got on a tour, I was like, oh, you know, I'm so glad I did what I did in the amateur life. But yeah, no more of that. Too much pressure. But yeah, for a while, I went back to Detroit. We sold my apartment. And I was like, well, I'll just take up a residence at the Residence Inn. And there I was, 15 years old, chilling at the Residence Inn for, you know, 6 months, going to the rink every day, training.
Essentially sitting on top of the world, also newly Olympic champion.
Right.
Very lucrative time in figure skating. And there you are at the Residence Inn, and you can't leave the skating club of Detroit.
I can't. And I mean, I do love a Residence Inn breakfast. So I'm a creature of habit. But anyway, you know, eventually I made that leap, and thank goodness I'm still not living at the Residence Inn. So.
But I mean, we were talking about it the other day too. Like, can you still wake up and feel what it feels like to do those jumps? And you can still feel in your brain the sweet spot on a perfect landing of something.
Yeah, I can. I think for you, it's a little different because you're still.
I'm still skating.
Still skating.
Skatosaurus over here.
But what's crazy is when I took some years off, I went back and was like, I wonder if I'll ever be able to jump again. Literally within two sessions, I just was like, okay, you know, you kind of feel so funny. It's sort of like your legs feel off and feel a bit off kilter. But I was like, okay, just go into that axle. And then, like, your body goes into auto drive.
It remembers how to do it.
And you just jump. And I think we've rotated for most of our lives that we'll never forget.
We just spin.
That's all we do.
But, like, I don't know. At this point, I think we have billions of rotations under our belts. I still haven't quite given up on skating. I haven't stopped touring yet. And like for this week I have in between Rio and going away, I'll go into the rink and I'll try and get myself moving again. First, it's great exercise.
It helps
keep me thin. And, you know, there's nothing I love more or that's more of a de-stress moment than putting my music on at 1 a.m. at the Skating Club of Wilmington in Wilmington, Delaware, which is my main rink, and just, like, moving to music. Grave digger!
But there really is. The music thing gets me every time. So, you know, I don't skate as often as you, but sometimes a new song will come out or I'll just sort of be in this certain mood and I'm, like, booking ice time. Yeah. Need to get there and I need to put on Adele's new song.
I have to move to this.
Right. I think Todd thinks I'm crazy because when I get there, you know, artist.
Yes.
Very emotional.
The naked experience.
I might just shed a tear during my performance.
Meanwhile, we're doing nothing. We're doing like three turns and little squiggles.
But we feel it.
But you feel it so deep inside. And I what's awesome about these niche sports that we get into as Olympians is that they stay with you forever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we at least have the opportunity to tour. I mean, now skating is so different than it was before. And there are less opportunities now, I'd say, than there were. But you look at something like air rifle. You look at something like sprinting. You can't tour and have exhibitions. Like, maybe if you're a Bolt, you'll have, like, this very big advertising deal. But otherwise, the payoff is very, very small.
Different opportunities.
Yeah. So, I mean, we come from a very popular sport. So I wonder what it would be like for someone who is in a sport that really has there is no follow-up to the Olympics. The Olympics is it, and then you go work at the car dealership or...
I mean, unless you get into broadcast, maybe that's why probably a lot of those athletes continue to return, just because they don't have another outlet like we do. But
right. And I mean, in some countries, like in China, for example, I tour China every summer, and one of the buildings that we perform in is the National Gymnasium of China in Beijing, and just outside there is these dorms where all of the athletes live, and... everything is taken care of for a Chinese national team athlete. They don't have to worry about finances. Their family has good jobs. And if they even need to have a job, everything's paid for. Doctors, ice time, massage therapists, travel, whatever you need, it's taken care of by the government. And you don't have a care in the world. So if you ever do leave that team, you're on your own. And you're fighting then at 40 years old to create a life for yourself that's somewhat similar to the one you had already, but right. you can't possibly make up that difference between what the Chinese government could pay you and what you as an individual citizen could make.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, I think skating, you know, ballet, gymnastics, all these sports that, you know, the kids are usually so young. I think a lot of times, you know, the moms either tried it themselves and never succeeded to the point that they wanted to, or they...
Well, they're sometimes the craziest ones.
They are, and I think that's why I was pretty lucky. My parents weren't really into sports and didn't have those dreams. They were living through me.
Yeah.
So it was always on my shoulders. If I wanted to do this, you know, it was my decision completely up to me. Now, my mom and dad, you know, were concerned about my schooling, concerned about, like, my life at this point being, you know, revolving around figure skating. So they were tough that if we were going to do this, you're going to work hard.
Yes.
And if you're not, then that's fine. We go home. But, you know.
It's give and take.
Right.
And I think that looking out from the outside in, there's a lot of pressure that gets put on, especially talented kids. Like, you were obviously talented. I was talented as a young person. And people that don't have necessarily as talented kids must assume that the parent is crazy and too pushy and too hard on their kids. But I'm so thankful that I had my mom to protect me. People go into these things so blindly and just let their kids, like, fall into eating disorders or into problems of this nature or that, abusive coaches. But my mom was always there, and it's unfortunate that she had, like, just because she was passionate
had
and protecting me.
My mom did too, but I laugh at her. She's probably more sensitive than I am, but, you know, people, like, you know, haters gonna hate.
Yes.
And, like, you look at a situation from, you know, far away, and it's never going to be truly how it is. And I just look, I would never have done what I've accomplished in figure skating without them, and especially my mom. You know, it just never would have happened.
All right, Tara's getting emotional. We're going to take a quick break. We love our moms. Hi, Mom. Love you.
Hi, Mom.
Next up is part two of our interview
with David Faraday.
Yes, Mrs. Colombo is your typical suburban housewife. Except when she tries to solve a murder.
You have to figure out why a man who was going to throw himself over a cliff went to the trouble of locking his car.
Don't miss the special two-hour premiere of Mrs. Colombo, Monday, right after Little House on NBC.
You are all I long for, all I worship and adore.
All right, everybody, we are back with a very special guest.
One of our favorite people.
From the loving and tender golf world. We've got David Faraday from Northern Ireland. I want to know about golf. I want to know why it's so big, because I get that it's a beautiful sport. I get that it's difficult and it's
very
a lot
difficult.
Of concentration, but why do people freak out so much about it?
Well, it's addictive. In the sense that, you know, it's an extremely hard game to play. You're trying to impose your will on a very small object with a very small surface, the club face, and you're swinging it through a very long distance around your body, and it's an unnatural move. Actually, now that I put it that way, I have no idea why I wanted to play. But every now and then, whoever has just taken it up will hit this one shot that hangs up in the air, comes out of the middle of the club face and feels so sweet. I'm trying to think of, because I don't know anything about skating.
It's probably except, when you land a jump. There's nothing
yeah.
like that feeling of landing.
A nice
yes.
like swish moment.
Yes. Yes, exactly. You know, where it's an orgasmic sort of a thing where you think, oh my God, I have no idea what that was, but I'm going to do it again. You know, and it sort of lures people in that sense, you know, maybe the next time they're out, they'll hit two or three shots like that, you know, and you gradually improve. But there are enormous setbacks as well where you feel like, I don't know about skating, but, you know, sometimes I imagine you go out and you think, wow, why didn't I feel like this yesterday? This has got a lot easier the next day. You know, it's not.
Well, you know what's funny? Golf had a major impact on me, and it might have come in the way of a movie called The Legend of Bagger Vance.
Oh, yes.
Do you remember
this? It was excellent, yeah.
Huge impact on my career because...
Really?
Yes, because I felt like he understood me. Because I feel like I went through those same things because it's, the thing that intrigues me about golf, obviously very difficult, strategic, physical, but at the same time, the thing that I love most is the mental aspect
yes.
of it, because I think it's very similar to skating.
Yes.
And how it can play games with your mind. And, you know, skating for me, once you get to a certain level, you're good.
Yeah.
It's all about what you're thinking and how you believe in yourself and the doubts. And so when I watched that movie, I was crying. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is my life.
So is skating about letting go in terms of, you know, golf is about letting go of your inhibitions or, you know, staying in the present, I would think is probably the best way to put it. You know, you can't worry about what's going to happen. You have to pay attention to what is happening.
Exactly.
What did you think of us, like, the first time you saw us walk in and
don't make
right
him lie.
By you?
Don't make him lie. He still has no idea who we are. He has no idea where he is.
Absolutely. I think I've got a really, really sharp image of who you are, and I love it. The first time that I saw you both together, it was, it was like, you know, you told me the other night, you know, that your dad asked you that question that we can't say. No, yeah.
You already brought that up, though,
Are you two in a relationship? Yeah, yeah. No, not exactly, but
you guys sure you haven't banged yet?
Yeah, yes, yeah, exactly. But the thing that I love about you both is that you own who you are. You know, you're in charge of it. You own it. There's nothing like left back, you know, whatever. The same with yourself. This is me. Get over it. You know, and I love that about anybody who does that. You know, I mean, I really do. You're just someone who's comfortable in their own skin and, you know, occupies the space, you know, that they occupy. That this is me. You know, you're welcome into it. You know, but, you know, please don't be an ass.
Well, thank you. That's a very sweet observation. You know, we only bring people on to this show if they really compliment us. Such a lovely way.
I was just going to say, Johnny, we should have him on as like a regular guest.
I'll do it.
Done. You just have to
I'll
pick up
it.
A phone
I'd
and
be honored.
Call in.
Yeah.
Actually, in fact, we have no idea how the wires and things work. We don't know how we make this podcast every time. We just kind of show up and talk.
Yeah. I'm with you there.
We
you
really know, thought two people were going to listen the first time
There's a couple of things about these Olympic Games, you know, and here for NBC that we're not supposed to be critical or anything like that. But I will say that there are a number of sports that I don't understand.
I'm right there with you.
Right.
That
there
I don't grasp
you.
The you know, and the golf hasn't been in the Olympics for 112 years, but you know, BMX is in. How can you have a sport and that you can have the heats in Toys R Us?
Well, I mean,
I want to do the BMX course in a big wheel. You know, one of those, like, kids' tricycles with the big, you know, I think that'll be so cool.
I mean, Rutledge Wood was actually supposed to join us today as well.
Rutters, he's beautiful.
Rutters, but he does NASCAR, right? So
yeah.
I've been busting his chops for a while now because I'm like, when I drive to the grocery store, am I training? So I'm kind of right there.
Only if you make a left.
I'm not an ambi-turner. I can only turn left. yeah, so there are sports in the Olympic Games that are just, you know, way up in the air for us. I love a ping pong table and a ping pong match, but to see them actually compete is outrageous because it's a real thing. And they go so hard. But when you think about it, you're like, ping pong. I play that when I'm on vacation. Like, it's next to the
Johnny,
shuffleboard.
Like synchronized swimming. I think there's so many sports that people probably look at and are, I don't get it. Like, how is this an Olympic sport?
Why is shooting in the
Johnny
Olympics?
Johnny and I... did it fun synchronized swimming
me.
Instagram video. And I'm telling you, those synchronized swimmers are insane. I was drowning in the first 3 seconds in the pool.
I have no idea how they do that.
Oh, my God.
With
they are
goodness
so
knows.
Strong.
Yeah. And to be fair, I have no idea how the BMXers to, you know, time those jumps and all the rest. You know, I mean, I'm being glib, you know, all the rest. I mean, it's quite clearly a very difficult thing to do. I just don't understand the concept of a giant man on a tiny bike.
I mean, there's a lot of those things, like, you know,
the speed
blades
walking.
On the bottom of someone's feet.
I mean, figure skating also is weird, and golf too. I mean,
oh yeah,
every sport is strange. So it's hard to kind of qualify what is an Olympic sport, because figure skating, as you might know, all the time gets shat on because it's musical, it's lyrical, but it's still a sport and it's judged, and people are like, oh, well, it's not really a sport if it's judging.
Oh,
or if
it's a
music.
Sport and an art.
It right. definitely is.
Yeah.
But there's, I think you can say the same thing for every sport. Somebody could say that golf is a leisure sport and has no place in the Olympics, while another person would say, like, these guys are in top form. They deserve to compete in their sport at the Olympic Games, win that medal.
You do wonder, there's some sports that are in already that, like, roller skating.
Roller skating is so
hard.
We talk about
it all
the time.
Why is that not in? It's pretty much the same thing as ice skating. I think the equipment
bricks.
Makes it less elegant, you know, because those are pretty heavy, clunky skates. But they train just as hard. I don't know. It's interesting.
And they can do difficult elements. They can do triple axels on roller skates.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's outrageous.
It's like the same thing as ice skating. Exactly.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Very interesting.
So I'm not quite sure why that's not an Olympic sport, but, you know, shooting a gun is.
Yeah. Well, you know, the shooting sports are you know, so old. You know, I've been in there forever. And Kim Rohde.
An air rifle is an old weapon from Olympia?
Not from Olympia. Maybe not from Olympia. Yeah. Kim Rohde has just competed in 6 Olympic Games, and she's the women's trap and skeet, you know, shotgun breaking clay targets, you know, and she's medaled in 6 consecutive games. It's pretty amazing. I did a feature on her, and just a remarkable piece of hand-eye coordination. You know, she broke 99 out of 100. Clays that are doing 70 miles an hour across her like a bullet. It's just freak you out completely.
Have you ever done the clay shooting?
Yes.
Good?
No.
No.
No, I'm
not. Have you ever done that?
No, but when I was young, because I grew up in the country, we learned to hunt, so I've killed things.
I did the clay shooting. That's the discs, right?
Yes.
So my dad took me and some friends when we were in South Carolina, where I have a home, last summer. And it was a traumatic and amazing experience because I got there and I was all cocky. I was like, I got this. I'm going to be like Annie Oakley up here, you know. And I get to the thing and the big rifle was there and I start crying.
Did they give you a 12-gauge? I mean, you should be shooting a 28-gauge
Idea what I was shooting. But I was literally crying. So everyone's videoing me. I'm crying and then I was like, Dad, I can't do it. I take off those big goggles, and so I'm sitting there watching everyone else do it, crying and getting myself like a 4-year-old where I'm like so embarrassed and upset that I won't even try it. And so we were all leaving and I was like, Dad, can we go back and you ask them if I could just try one? And I went back and I hit it the first time.
Smoked it.
Still crying.
It's one of those things that you should do by yourself, or at least with your dad, nobody else around,
right,
to start off with. Kind of like golf.
I know.
Yeah. I mean, you don't want to go out there and take 17 swipes at it and hit it along the ground or whatever. You just need to be with someone who cares.
Yeah.
You know, who'll make you feel comfortable and put you in the right frame of mind so that you can allow it to happen.
You know what I just thought of? Will you teach me how to play golf? So I played once.
Yeah.
And I have an interesting technique. When I hit the ball, I continue to spin like I'm on the ice.
Oh, right.
And I can't stop or check my hips or really hit the ball. So I'm wondering, maybe next time we're in the same city.
Yes.
Would you take me out and teach me?
I would love to. That's about footwork. That's about footwork is what all you're talking about. And you would grasp it in an instant if someone showed you properly. Yeah.
I have an awesome putting stance. So,
you do?
Yeah.
He sticks his butt out.
I just stick my butt out.
Yeah. Well, you know, you should do that. If you look at, you know, the athletic players, they all have, you know, an arch in their back where they, you know, have their butt out a little bit.
I mean, in general, that's how I walk around. It's like a gay sway back.
Oh, really? Yeah. Excellent.
It's a thing.
He waddles.
I think I've done it myself.
Mm. But, David, thank you so much for coming on.
No, it's my pleasure.
We've really loved it. And enjoy yourself at the hotel.
Yeah. Yes.
This is NBC News Update, sponsored by Ideal Toys. Here is Jessica Savage.
Good evening. NASA tonight said the space shuttle could still fly its full 5-day mission despite problems with a fuel cell. But the Columbia is still on minimum mission status and scheduled to land Saturday. That's 3 days early. Budget Director David Stockman quoted as critical of President Reagan's economic program, offered to resign today, but the president turned him down. Several major banks today cut their prime lending rate to 16.5%, the lowest it's been since last November. And Exxon today announced it was pulling out of Libya. Libya exports about 440,000 barrels of oil a day, and Exxon is responsible for about a quarter of this. I'm Jessica Savage in New York. More news later on this NBC station.
So we're back. How amazing is David Faraday?
He is my favorite.
I want to learn to golf just so he can guide me.
Oh, he's going to teach us. Could be a disaster.
So thank you again, David. We really don't like guests very much, but we were happy to have you.
You can come back.
You can come back, perhaps. All right. So Tara and I, we were discussing how competitive we are with things. And it doesn't just come from sport. I think it's either bred in you or not. But we were talking last night about how even the smallest things can become a competition. Like, you want to be the first one to stop at the red light. You want to be the first one to pull away.
Right. We were talking about this. We were going back and forth. I mean, in relationships, it's tough, too, because you know, you play games, board games, things like that.
But
you know,
it's a
not
competition.
Easy. It is a competition. I mean, Monopoly has become a game that, like, has to be locked away. I've gotten into, like, huge tiffs over
brawls.
Well, you know what? Not even fighting. I sometimes cry. Like, you know, it's – I remember I played with my mom once, and I was monopolizing and had, like, every property. And she's like – we were just going in circles. And she's like, are you going to sell to me? And I was like, no. Like,
they're mine.
So she's like, I don't want to keep playing – you know, for hours and going in circles if you're not going to, like, sell anything. And I was like, I don't have to. My mom and I didn't speak literally for 2 days. She went up, closed her door. I saw her the next day. She walked right by me in the kitchen. There was, like, no speaking. You know, even with Todd, the very first time we played, I'll always remember this. We were probably an hour in, and I'm fine. You know, I don't get angry or, you know, it's just internal.
You want to win, though.
I just internally... I'm stressed out. So we're going around, and Todd is starting to win, and I realize it's looking pretty bad for me.
Bleak.
And he was so awesome. I think he could see it happening, and he's like, you know what? I'm getting a bit tired. How about you? We'll just maybe start tomorrow? And, like, it ended it. But then the next time we played, it wasn't the same. And I might have cried. Well, like, just one small tear.
But it's not a
tantrum. I also was a little
tantrum.
Dramatic. I mean, you get into it, so then you all of a sudden think it's real life, and you are sort of playing it up.
But... You took Park Place!
But anyway, I don't know. I remember Todd later on bringing up the fact that, like, oh, yeah, I mean, you even cried in Monopoly, and that enraged me for something. For some reason, I don't know why. It was just so upsetting.
Well, here's the thing. A lot of people have isms about themselves, and maybe being competitive is ours. Like... I wouldn't say I was the best competitor when it came to ice skating, but I'm a super competitive person. Like, if I get to the grocery store and I walk in at the same time as somebody else, I have to get through the grocery store before I see them again. I want to be in the car, packed up, leaving as I see them walk out with their cart full of giant-sized Arizona iced teas.
That's the story, though, last night. So we were talking about this, and Johnny goes, do you ever, and we said it at the same time, when you're walking into the grocery store, so sick, what's wrong with us?
I have no idea. We're disgusting with the way that we're, like, on wavelengths and biorhythms and all that. But, you know, it's not tantrums. It's just, like,
when you
wave a little piece of something red in front of the bull will charge.
Right.
So I feel like in a relationship of any kind, and you have a competitive person as your plus one, don't. Just don't do it. Because then you have to prove why you're better and why you have to win.
Right.
Even with my friends, people I love, if I know they're wrong about something, I will Google it and show them, like, no. Like, that is not the capital of that country. I knew what it was. I said it. You didn't believe me. But here, I'm going to show you.
See, that stuff I'm better on. It just strictly board games for me is quite tough.
I don't believe that for a minute. I think it's more than board games.
I mean, you have to admit, sometimes I'm pretty easygoing in some ways.
Yes. I mean, you've got that California hippie vibe in there.
Monopoly, any type of...
Categories.
That
is a double letter point. I said Bonnie Blair. She's a famous female. BB. 2 points.
Oh, man. And I come up with some creative ones that I'd like someone to challenge me.
Yeah, please. And that's the thing. Even if we're winning by a mile,
yes. You
still do things because you can, and you're like, try and challenge
right.
me.
But I feel like it's very civilized, our competitiveness, because it isn't – I think a lot of people get misunderstood, and they think it's like a tantrum or just because we feel like we need to win. We know we're not good at everything. We just, like, strive
to be great
for greatness.
Like, if you're not winning, you're losing. So you may as well try really hard to win and fail than allow yourself to lose.
Did people, your relationships in the past, did they all understand you?
No.
No.
It's really hard as a competitive person, and especially as an ex-ice skater. I mean, our world, we talk about it a lot in this podcast, but our world is just so cutthroat and so nasty in a lot of ways, and now we're in broadcasting, which isn't much better. So you always have to look out for yourself, and you always have to be competitive, because if you don't stand up and take the medal or the television show, somebody else will. There are other hungry people out there, so you have to win and be the best. But to get somebody who's just, like, you know, quote unquote a normal guy, went to college, has a job, grew up in, like, a not New York or Los Angeles situation, so pretty much everyone, to get them to understand why you're such a crazy bat is very hard. And the worst part, though, is when they think they understand and they're like, oh, it's okay, baby, I get you.
Yeah.
You do not get this at all. Oh, you're just upset you lost.
No,
I'm upset.
That is not why I'm upset.
I'm upset because you made me feel like I should have lost.
Exactly.
But I shouldn't have, and I was better
than
you.
Johnny, that's it. That's exactly it. Yeah, it's hard for people to probably understand, probably the normal Todd Kapp outfit.
Like a jean
shoe. Exactly what I like. But anyway, we then spoke for a month and a half on WhatsApp every single day. And that's like, I remember being in Italy with my friend Allie and waking up and then knowing, because it took me a while. And then I was like, Allie? He like wrote something very clever and you know how witty and funny he is. And I was like, I think I like him. I was in Amsterdam and I woke up. I was like, this is it. I like him a lot. I might date him. But yeah, you never really know.
Yeah.
But then once we did start dating, probably a week and a half in, we were like, okay, we'll get married.
Yeah. I mean, okay, you're mine. Yeah, I love the idea of putting myself out there again. I mean, you know, we're not the youngest of chickens anymore, but we still have a lot of life left in us. So I'm excited to kind of get back in the game, and it's taken me a while to kind of get to that point mentally. Because also, we're so busy that for me to start a new relationship, I mean, at least Todd Kapp proposed and you guys are getting into it.
Yeah.
I have to be like, oh, yeah, I'd love to go on a first date, but, like, how's your November? And he's like, well, what the hell? Right now it's March. What are you talking about November
I know,
for?
But see, you're going to have to change that. I know we're on a podcast, but I am giving you some advice.
Give it to, how do
just
I do
like
that?
Just like my mom was like, get it together, Tara. Balance and figure out what's important.
Clock ticking.
Important in life, okay? So you have to, like, balance better. You might have to, like, let go of some of that schedule, because no one you're going to meet at this age is going to be like, hey, like, I really like you, and I'm not going to see you for 6 months. Just like I said, if Todd didn't, like, ask me to brunch, we probably would have never been together.
Right.
So if you're always gone, you know, it's not going to work. So, you know, that's my advice.
So
date more and maybe, like, cut down on the travel if you can.
But also, like, guys are rough. Like, there aren't a lot of gentlemen left in this world. So I'm not, like, a one-night-only, first-night throw down kind of girl.
No.
So, but it's hard to find people. And then if you don't put out the first night, then there's like a
no, that's just
a weird
not the
stigma.
Right person. Then.
No, but that, like, so many. And then
they're
you
not
get
all
so,
like that.
And then I get so disenchanted because I'm like, oh, is that all that, like, I'm really good
no,
for?
No, you're meeting the wrong people.
All right. So I'm going to need you and Todd Kapp to find me a.
We're going
to
set you up.
You know, a nice Midwestern dude that lived near or around.
I know what
Cleveland.
You like. You like a strong nose.
I love a schnoz.
Yes, you like what else do you like? Height is not that important to you.
Height isn't the most important thing, but I would like somebody that's a bit, you know, taller than me and a little bit more of like a, you know, piece of bread than I am.
You have a very certain look. I always know when we step into an Uber X, I always know, oh, Johnny may be chatty with this driver.
Yeah. I do love a good flirt. I love messing with people. Straight or gay, it doesn't matter. Like, I love when people just can smile and feel special, and because I would love that too if somebody would do it for me aside from you. But anyway, now that we've gone into all of our dating woes and we've covered a lot of things, I think it's time to wrap it up for this podcast.
Yeah, it's gone by so fast. Once again, thank you guys for listening. Hopefully next time I won't have a cold and be so stuffy.
Yeah, and I'll have slept more and you know.
And we'll be in America.
We'll be in America next time we podcast.
Oh.
So we are so thankful. If you don't already, follow us at Tara and Johnny, at Tara Lipinski, at Johnny G. Weir on Instagram, on Twitter. And send in your comments and your questions, and also get on iTunes. You can write comments there as well.
We like those.
Yeah.
Okay.
But thank you so much. We love you all to the stars and back down. But for now, bye.
This program is brought to you in living color on NBC. The opening and some non-presentation portions were pre-recorded.